Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Excited about today's message, even though I don't know that it's necessarily a fun message. It hasn't been one for me because we're continuing on with spiritual disciplines, and it's not always fun to embrace discipline in any form or fashion, though most people like the results of discipline, don't you? Particularly in other people. The whole series is new ways, rerouting your spiritual life. Not your spiritual wife. Talking about submission this morning, so we might not. That's terrible, isn't it? Rerouting your spiritual life, because God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for all of us. And my heart is that you know that you can become what God's called you to be. And if you think it's your life and your route, you'll live it that way for long as you can, until you come to the revelation that it's really not even your life and it's not your route. And when we trust God and we do things His way, He'll get us to the place that He created us for. And many people find hopelessness, despair, discouragement, and they just feel like giving up on life, and they blame God. And while I can understand that this miserable, when we trust God, regardless of what we walk through, we know that He will bring us to a place of purpose. It's not always fun, but it's a place of purpose. How do we get to the place? Like, y'all use the Waze app. I'm sure many of you use the Waze app, and it's like a crowdsourced app, and like, oh, people know, and they point out the road hazards, and it helps you to expedite where you're going and your destination. This is what spiritual discipline does. The hallmark verse behind all of this, though, is Hebrews 12:11, which says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. In other words, discipline is tough. It's hard. Discipline is doing what you don't want to do so that you can become what you're called to be. It's not fun in the moment. It's sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Spiritual discipline. Doing what I may not want to do or don't feel like doing in the moment so that I can become the person that I know that God's called me to be. Why do we even embrace spiritual discipline? Because Jesus embraced spiritual discipline. The three types of disciplines were inward disciplines, outward disciplines, and corporate disciplines. The inward disciplines we've already talked about. Meditation, prayer, fasting, study. Jesus embodied all of those. The outward disciplines. I like these because they're even more practical, because meditation and prayer and fasting and study, you're like, okay, like what is that? But even in the name of the outward disciplines, which we're talking about right now, we've already talked about the first two, which is simplicity. Jesus embodied that. Somebody said, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. He's like, well, come on, but I'm homeless. I don't even have places to stay. So just realize that. It was simple. The second thing that he embraced was solitude, that he regularly got by himself to hear from his Father so that he could know the step that he was to take. Simplicity, solitude, service. Jesus served. He said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But today we're talking about another S word. Y'all ready for it? It's submission. This is like a curse word in some Christian circles and in some households, and maybe not for the reasons that you think, and we'll talk about that today. But why are we even talking about spiritual disciplines? Here's why. Because the church doesn't need a longer worship set, better messages, more outreach, more programs. That is not what the church needs. What the church needs is deep people who've spent time alone with God in His presence, meditating, praying, seeking Him, studying. That's what we need. I want to go deep. And I've not just preached these, I've applied them like I never have before. And it's not always fun. I don't always feel like doing it. But can I tell you, it's kind of like when you work out, when you know you need to work out, but you don't want to work out, and you do it anyway, and you're consistent with it. How do you feel at the end of it? I feel good. But here's why. Why do you feel good if you've worked out and taken care of your body like you should over a period of time? Why do you feel good? Here's why. Because you can look and see the difference and you can feel it, can't you? Isn't that true? Y'all gonna talk to me?
Yeah.
It's the same way with spiritual disciplines. We can see, oh my gosh, I'm spiritually more healthy because I'm meditating and praying and fasting and studying. I'm spending time alone with God. I'm making things really simple, getting the main things. It's you, Jesus. I'm going to serve. I'm going to live a life of submission. Before we talk about that, I want you to recognize, I'm going to be reading, if that's all right, because there's too much good stuff that I wrote down. Because let me tell you, this is a hard message for me. I don't know about y'all, but for me, because I realize that if there's one discipline that I've fought against many times, not even realizing it, it was submission, because I like my way. Don't you? Don't you like your way? It's fun. But freedom is the end goal of all spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline is just a means to freedom. It's not the answer. It just leads us to the answer. The spiritual discipline of submission. Here it is. You ready? It's embracing freedom through humility. It's embracing freedom through humility. How does submission bring freedom? Here's how. Because biblical submission is a choice. It's a choice. What is submission? I'm going to embrace humility, and the byproduct of it is I get to walk in freedom, because now I don't have to be so concerned with always being right, with always having it my way, with doing it the things like the way that I think that they should be done. Because biblically, I've surrendered to God and to the godly divine relationships and the people that he's placed around me. I've submitted. I've deferred to them. I said, Lord, I surrender to you. And I stop thinking so highly of myself, and I start recognizing that maybe, just maybe, if I spend time in the presence of God, he'll show me the next step. And if I'm wise and truly have a heart of submission, I'll step out in obedience. And you know what it brings? It brings a few things. It brings pain, number one, because anytime your will is crossed, you find out what's going on in the inside of you. It's just true. How you respond when somebody crosses your will is a great indicator as to whether or not you have a submitted heart in general, or maybe there's a seed of rebellion in you. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me, because I don't like to have my will crossed. Do you? No. Nobody says, that's fun. Sign me up for people bossing me around and telling me what to do. That sounds great. No. And see, here's where it gets slippery, because many times, even the church at times is taught submission from the perspective of top-down theology, almost like instead of Reagan's trickle-down economics. Y'all remember that? 1,000 points of light, all that stuff. It's like submission is top-down and you better submit. Can I just tell you right now, that's not biblical submission. Biblical submission is something that you submit yourself to. It's submission. Like, my mission is secondary to God's mission. My mission in marriage is secondary to my spouse's mission. And when we recognize that it's secondary, that I'm submitting, it's something I'm coming on, it's underneath the mission that God has for me. It's underneath the mission for the people around me, that I'm not thinking of my way first. There's freedom that comes with that. It's not oppression. It's surrender of my will and my way. It releases us from the burden of always needing to be right. The obsession, and here's just observational, the obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in people's lives today. People spend weeks, months, even years in a perpetual funk because something didn't go as they wished. They fuss, they fume, they get mad about it. They act as if their very life hangs on the issue. Have you ever been there? Like, you're mad and upset because things didn't go your way? I've been there. Submission is important. Here's why. Because Jesus lived it. Jesus lived it. John 8:28, Jesus says this. Can I just say, this is like informational, central, and just basic, simple teaching. But for me, it's also been revolutionary, because I've come to recognize that maybe my dad was right, that I needed to learn how to shut up and just obey and just do what needed to be done, because there was what he saw and he was right. It was just a seed of rebellion. In other words, I wanted to do it my way. I didn't want to submit to anybody or anyone because they're all idiots. And I think I want to do what I want to do, and nobody can tell me anything. But Jesus says this. Jesus said, now remember, he's 100% God and 100% man, sent by his Father. And he says this, I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. I say only what the Father taught me. I've had to learn how to shut up, and guess what? I'm still learning it. Because sometimes I like to say what I'm thinking. I only say what the Father taught me. An act of submission for me is to remain quiet and listen. For some people, you know what their act of submission may be? That you need to speak up. How many of you that you've had trouble and like you walk away from something and you go, I really probably should have said this, not in a self-justification way, but in a God way. Like there's a moment you have an opportunity to speak, like maybe was God putting that on my heart, and you walk away and you say, I didn't say it. Have you ever been there? Come on. Can I just, submission is nothing of my own, say only what the Father taught me. That he'll teach you that you can speak up because he speaks to you and through you because you're submitted to him. And then maybe you're like me, and like God's like slapping you upside the head because you idiot, you shouldn't have said that. You need to learn how to shut up. You need to understand what it means to be submitted. Yeah, but what I said was true. Just because something is true does not mean that it needs to be said. Isn't that a fact? Come on, is that just a fact? Hey, baby, how do these jeans make me look? Don't answer that question. I'm just saying. Oh, sorry. Whew. Well, they took the verse down. Y'all just leave those verses up till I go to the next one. I don't do anything of my own but say what the Father taught me. I wrote this off to the side during the worship set. Is there any other name above Jesus in my life? Like we were singing, there's no other name above Jesus. But there can be, and it could be mine. Like Todd says in 1 Todd 17:1, it says, you're an idiot. You know, I mean, it could, man, I better watch what I got to say. Whoo, I better be submitted, not oppressive, something coming down on me, but me surrendering and coming underneath. Submission. My mission is secondary to God and to the mission that he has for the people around me. John 12:49, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Luke 22:42, Father, this is Jesus, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Can I just tell you? Submission is often painful. It's not always fun where I say my mission in life is sub, like it's secondary. It's underneath God's mission and the mission of the people that he's divinely, like God relationships around me. Am I submitted to God's mission? Like my mission, Lord, it's only what you say. And I just want to say and think and do and be only what you've done for me and spoken to me. Do I value other people around me? Or do I value my own opinion? And this has been so painful. So, because God has just convicted the fire out of me in all this. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. In other words, it's not always fun to say, Lord, I'm surrendered to you and to your will. Because you may end up in some situations like Jesus where you're betrayed, where you're lied about, where you're handed over to people who torment you, torture you, crucify you. That all happened to Jesus. And we shouldn't be surprised that if we're serving Jesus, everything that happened to him will happen to us. I fully 1,000% believe in the prosperity gospel, but it doesn't look like a mansion. I want a G650 jet so that I don't have to stop and refit. That's not prosperity. That's the world's definition of prosperity. Biblical prosperity always brings life. Jesus laid down his life for you and for me so that we could have it, have life. This is the essence of submission. I hope I'm, am I resonating at all here? Does this make any sense? Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. John 6:38 says, for I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, Jesus speaking, not to do my own will. But I like doing my own will. I like my will being done. It's just going to be honest. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't pray this, but it's almost as if as, oh, Todd, you're looking down from heaven. You're going to build your kingdom. It's going to come. It's going to be done. Your will, Todd, you got to have it done. Like, that's heretical, isn't it? It's offensive. But the reality is there have been many times. It's my way. I've actually said this before. Hey, it's my way or the highway. If you don't like it, get out. I've had that told to me, too. Both ways is not fun, because that's not submission. Submission is not you will submit, or submission is not this either. Submission is not you must submit. That's, both of those are oppression. That's not, that's a demonic twist and perversion on what God has called us to in surrender to his perfect will and his perfect way. I can choose. Am I going to live under the umbrella of God's divine hand or not? It's a choice. Submission is not somebody forcing you to something. It's your choice. Submission brings freedom because it's you choosing God's way. It's the exact same choice that Adam and Eve had in the garden. Exact same choice they had in the garden. Because it was a choice of love, and love always requires a choice. Why didn't God just make them and put them there and said, you can't ever mess up? Because they wouldn't have free will. They'd just be robots. And even today, we still have the free will or not to choose our way, to listen to the lie that says, this is good for you. This is going to make you better. This is, and to feed into what you want and to put the name of your desire above the name of Jesus. Yeah. It's painful. Not to do my own will, because I like my way. But here's what you realize when you've done it your way long enough. Your way does not remove pain from your life. Your way only brings joy for a brief amount of time. Because there's something much worse than not getting what you want. It's getting what you want and then realizing it doesn't satisfy at all. Have you ever done that? Maybe you wanted the next whatever it is, like a thing, like a thing, like a possession. Like you wanted this, like you want a new car, or you want a phone, or you want whatever it is. I don't. Have you ever like longed and wanted, man, if I could just have that, you could just, and you get it, and it's like elation, and it's awesome for like a month. And then you realize, oh my gosh, it doesn't bring satisfaction. Because getting what you want doesn't bring satisfaction. So why do I strive for that? And me and God have had talks about this. Him usually saying, honestly, like, why do you strive for control? Why do you want it your way? What does it bring? That's been the big, what does it bring? Let me tell you what it brings. Getting things your way at the expense of everyone else around you brings nothing but misery first to you and pain to everyone else around you. Let me just remind you that control truly in our life is an illusion, because you will all die. Everybody gonna die. I'm not trying to be a killjoy this morning, but you all gonna die. Oh, I know, it's not really fun, is it? Like, what'd y'all learn at church today? My pastor said I'm gonna die. We're not in control here, guys. There's just an illusion of it. And when you give into the illusion, you're giving into rebellion. And it's the illusion that the enemy himself operated in, that he could make himself like God. That's the same illusion that Adam and Eve embraced in the garden when they ate the fruit, thinking that they could be more like God. It is not your will that makes you more like God. It is surrendering to his. Submission, what's it look like? choosing to please God and bring life to others at the expense of our will. And let me tell you right now, it's expensive. The expense of my will is expensive. That means it costs a lot, because if we're not careful, like, we're going to value our pride really, really highly. You cannot be a person who has a submissive heart and a proud person. That's hard. I'm going to say it again. You cannot be someone who truly has a submissive heart and be a proud person. It does not work that way. Only in submission are we able to get to a place where we can release the oppression the enemy wants to place on us in our self-focus and self-gratification. In submission, I want you to get this, this is key. I know it's a lot of information, but hear this. In submission, we're free to value other people. Their hopes, their dreams, their plans become important to us. How can that be? Because we've made ours second to theirs. This is what we're called to, submission. Here's what submission is like. Do you like practicals? I love practicals. Do you like practicals? Nobody here likes practicals. I'm going to go with some practicals. Three things that submission is not. Number one, submission is not subordination. Subordination speaks to the kingdom of man, not the kingdom of God. Subordination isn't necessarily bad. It's a function of organizational structure. In other words, it's here, 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 and here. And they have these hierarchies all throughout organizational structure, whether it's in the military, whether it's in a company, whether it's on a team. Subordination isn't bad. It brings order. But submission isn't about order and organizational structure. Submission is a condition of my heart. The second thing that submission is not, it's not being a yes man. Y'all remember that movie with Jim Carrey? He said yes to everything. The name of the movie was Yes Man. We are not called to say yes to everything. Because you were submissive does not make you a yes person. Yes, oh yes, oh please, please walk on me. Please, I have no opinion, please. Can I tell you, that's not strength, that's weakness. Because many times God will call you because you were submitted to him to step up and say what needs to be said. Because you have a submissive heart and your mission is secondary to his, that you say no to the things that will distract you from it. And that because you have people that are God relationships in your life, that you can say to them, I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about this. You don't want to do it, but you do it because you want them to succeed. Does this make sense, guys? Submission is not, it's not setting your mind aside. In other words, like, I'm just brainlessly going to do whatever somebody tells me. No, it doesn't mean that you don't have an opinion, that you don't think, that you don't know your own self-worth. In fact, a submitted heart knows it's valuable because it knows who created it, because it knows whose it is and who it is. This is submission, that we understand it's not subordination, yes, man, or setting your mind aside. It's setting your will aside. Because Jesus calls us to self-denial. Mark 8, 34 through 36, it says this. Jesus speaking, calling the crowd to join his disciples. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Can you read that with me? You ready? We're going to just read the quotes. We're going to just read up to, man, I have two different versions up in here. Oh, well. And then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, you ready? If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, I'm not specifically a New Testament scholar, but I'm pretty sure in the story of Jesus, when Jesus took up his cross, it was because he was about to what? He's about to die. He was about to die. And Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, you've got to turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Mark 9, 35 says, he sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him. And he said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Matthew 10, 39, Jesus says, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Philippians 2, 3 through 8 says this, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. You see that? More important. And Don't merely look, I don't know what I got now. Where are we going? I'm all over the place. I know y'all just trying to keep up with me. Y'all do an awesome job. At first service, they have deaf interpretation. And I told the lady that was doing it this morning, I was like, how did I do? I tried to go slow. And she just looked at me like, I know you're trying. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Look at verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves. Your attitude matters because submission is an issue of the heart. It manifests itself as an attitude. Do you know people with attitude? I ain't gonna do that. You can tell them. What's your attitude? This is the attitude that we should have. Verse 6. It's the same one Jesus had. He existed in the form of God. Like, he's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And that part of it, he didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself. In other words, it's not me, taking the form of a bondservant. That means that he chose it. Bondservants were servants. They had been indentured many times for the period of about 7 years. They'd be indentured, and they would be released at the end of that. It was like how they could survive. But they had a choice. They could choose to be a servant for life to the master because they were submitting their life to him. And if they said, I want to continue being a servant, it was for life. And they were marked because they'd take their earlobe, they'd bring it up to the doorpost. It was a ceremony. And they would take a wooden awl and they'd jam it through their ear, and it would mark them as forever a servant. This is what Paul, who wrote this, is saying. Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant by choice, not by somebody making him. And being made in the likeness of men, look at verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Everybody say he humbled himself. You ready? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Is my attitude one which daily I say, Lord, if you want to kill me today, it's okay, because I'm submitted, surrendered to you. That's hard. Paul writes later in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Can I tell you where that is? That's Ephesians. I don't have it sitting in my notes. So y'all, Ephesians 5, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Can I just say that submission has become a curse word to many people because it's been used so wrongly. Particularly in the context of marriage, where, I'll be honest, ungodly husbands say, you better submit, woman. Listen to me. If you've ever said you have to submit to your wife, you yourself are not submitted. You're not acting like one who is submitted at all, because you're not. You actually are an oppressor. I'm saying this from experience. I'm not saying this because, I'm saying that because maybe somebody in my household might have said that, and it wasn't my wife. At some point in my life, many years ago, 2018, 19, 17, no, I'm joking. I've heard this verse actually misquoted, actually contextually wrong. I'll sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. This is the curse, the pronouncement of the curse. And in pain will give you birth. In pain, you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And that's used. I've seen it used doctrinally to say, well, the husband's the head of the house, and like he's to rule over it. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Like, I had revelation about that this week in studying submission. I'm like, this is the curse. And the curse is that there is one who rules over the other. And in marriage, that is not the case. That we are, Paul starts Ephesians 5:21 and says, further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husband. And it says, for husbands, this means to love your wives. What did Jesus do for the church? He said, not my will be done, but yours, Father. And he laid down his life for the church, who's the bride of Christ. Am I willing to say, Lord, my attitude is, Lord, if you want to kill me today for your kingdom, to see it come, for your will be done, Lord, it's yours. Do I have that attitude with my wife?
I'd take a bullet for my wife. You know I'd lay down my life.
Yeah, but you won't take out the trash. Not much of a bondservant, just saying. Here's what biblical submission brings. We're wrapping up. Here's what biblical submission brings. Biblical submission brings freedom. It brings freedom. It brings life. That's what it brings, freedom and life. This is what biblical submission brings. We think that our way is the right way, that our way is the way that it should be. And I'll just speak to me. Like, my way is the right way. My way is the way that it should be. And I've gotten my way a lot. That doesn't bring peace. That brings pain. I wrote this. Oppression says you must. It says I'm in control. It says it's my way or the highway. That's oppression, by the way. Submission says I choose. I surrender. It's up to you. Oppression brings misery, confusion, resentment. But submission brings freedom. The second thing submission brings is this: peace. Peace. It brings peace. It brings peace because there's a simplicity. I'm just going to do what you say, God. I'm not going to make it about me and what I want. Your desires will mislead you and lead you to a place of death and hell. First on this earth, and then if you're not careful, in the life to come. Submission brings freedom, peace, and biblical submission. Here it is, brings unity. Because like Paul says in Ephesians 5:21, we're to submit to one another. And when my mission becomes secondary to God's mission and to the family of God that he's placed me in and the people of God, and that I'm trying to not to be right, I'm not trying to do things my way, that I'm submitted to God, that I've surrendered my will, my way. Lord, I want to do only what you want to do. And that my mission with people around me is exactly what I wrote here, where I value their hopes, their dreams, their plans. They become important to me. Not my hopes, my dreams, my plans. And here's the last thing I want you to get. I'll wrap up with this. How you approach submission reveals what you've given your heart to. How you approach submission reveals what you have given your heart to. Do we have that on the screen? Did I know? What does that mean? How you approach submission reveals what you've given your heart to. If I look at submission as something that's placed upon me, if I look at it through the lens of, oh, I don't want to do that, I might have a seed of rebellion. God's kicked my behind on that, because there's lots of times when I want my way. I've approached submission with, ugh. I've faked submission some too, because I know it's the right thing, but I've disagreed with it. Maybe even times when I haven't agreed, but I've given zero honor. I just wrote off to the side. This was in first service worshiping. Am I able to honor what I don't agree with? I wrote this too. Submission with the wrong heart is just hidden rebellion. And in time, it will manifest. My prayer is that you can surrender. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here today and this message was for you. Maybe you're here and you've done it your way. And maybe today, like, your eyes were open. You've begun to see, like, I have submission issues. And maybe today Jesus is calling to you and he's saying, surrender to my will. Surrender to my way. Let me just say that he brings freedom. He brings peace. He brings unity. Maybe you're here and you've been doing it your way. The Bible calls that sin, and it brings death. It brings hell, both in this life and in the one to come. And I'm just telling you, you need to surrender. If you're looking for peace, if you're looking for freedom, if you're looking for Jesus, you can't operate in that and have a rebellious heart. And let me just tell you, you can know Jesus, but you can still have some rebellion in you. Even Peter was rebuked by Jesus, literally just before Jesus was to go to the cross. And he had to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because there was a seed of his way, his desire, his want. And maybe you're here and that's been the mark of your life. But today Jesus is speaking to you. He's saying, come to me, surrender to me. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me. I need to surrender to him, to his way. Nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. This message is for me. I need to submit. I need to surrender to God's purpose and plan for me. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Oh my gosh, hands all over. Father, I pray that we have a submitted heart to you. Can you just your hands raised, can we just all pray? Just say, dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I turn from my way. I recognize that's my sin. And you paid the price for my sin, Jesus. You took my punishment on the cross. I receive your forgiveness. I surrender my life to you. I'm yours. Your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Come on, can we celebrate with God's team? Let me tell you, if you prayed that prayer and it was for the first time, that's not the end of everything. It's just the beginning. And listen to me. God's calling us to grow deep, to grow deep in knowing who he is, to knowing what he's already spoken to us. Everybody wants, like, I want a word from God. He's given you a whole book. It's a letter to you. Read it so that we can grow deep. Why? So that we can reach people with the truth that God loves them and knows them. And we can see people build their lives on his word. So if you made a decision today, here's what I'm going to ask. Take a moment and take the connection card in the seat back in front of you. And where it says, today I've decided, check it off. And then you can drop it in the boxes by the doors on the way out or bring it to the connection center. Or you see the crosses on the sidewall. If you need prayer, you can go and bring that card to them. Or if you just need prayer, you can go there. But here's why that's important. Because my heart as a pastor is to connect you to life-giving relationships that can, people that can walk with you and can grow with you. That's my heart. I want to see that happen. I also want to connect you with resources. Maybe you need a Bible. We'll give you a Bible because I want you to grow in the truth that you know in Jesus today. Maybe it was for the first time so that you can live the life he has for you. Why don't we stand to our feet? Did y'all have a good time today? Man, I say it all the time. It's just so true. The best is yet to come. Father, I just pray that we can walk out of here knowing that you are with us because we've surrendered to you. Father, I just pray a blessing on everyone here as they surrender to you, that you guide their steps and walk with them, go before them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Y'all are dismissed. If you need prayer, you come. God bless.